If you would, let's stand together. Luke 11, we'll read once again the first four verses, what some call the Lord's Prayer. And as we have mentioned before, it's not as familiar as the version that comes from the book of Matthew, but you get the point as we read it. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and just to be here together and to sing songs of praise and to be able to give an offering, Lord, and now to look into your word. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the souls that are here in this room today, with those that are grieving, with those that are going through difficult times. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, we pray that today would be that day, that they would turn their heart to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Prayer. Prayer is a supplication, a petition, a plea, a request. If you have Reader's Digest, they have an issue or an article, I believe it's in this month, concerning prayer. And it was amazing how a number of people said they prayed and gave thanks, but not to God. And I'm thinking, well, to whom are you praying then? And many times people today forget that there is a God and that he does care about us. And if I were to ask you this question, for what have you prayed for earnestly lately? Has there been something that has been heavy on your mind or something in which you have prayed asking the Lord's will? As you know, we've just come through our mission conference, and we were having a goal of $64,000, and that was our desire. And as of last week, when the count was given, we had about $48,700 that had been committed, and a number of commitment papers have been turned in today. And if you have been praying like I have, it's been something of a concern. And we hope that if you haven't turned in a commitment paper, you will do so even today. But the fact of the matter is, it is something in which I've prayed. But what have you been praying about lately? Maybe about a job. Our son Matthew lost his job there in Grand Rapids. And we have been praying, Lord, we hope that you can provide. And maybe you have been praying for a job for yourself or for someone else. For health, and I'm going to dare say that a lot of us pray for the health of somebody, be it parents or loved ones, a sibling, and you pray for physical health or mental health or emotional health or even spiritual health. Maybe you've been praying about direction to buy or sell or to move or to change, and you've been praying for, Lord, give us direction. May I say this, that there is a prayer that will always be answered. And we find it there in what we have just read, "Thy will be done." How often, though, we have a prayer, something along the line of, "Lord, I want this, please do it." But the fact of the matter is, we should be praying that the Lord's will be done. But let's begin reading now at verse 5. Jesus has shown them, given them a model for prayer, and now he's going to give them a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And this parable is about answered prayer. And beginning at verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus gives a parable. He begins by saying, which of you shall have a friend? You know, it's good to have a friend. Would you not agree? You know, I tell you what, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. Thank God for that brother that sticketh closer than a brother. That one that was willing to die for you and for me. Thank you, Lord. But note that the friend has come at midnight asking for bread. Can you imagine you're there in bed and suddenly there's a knocking at the door. And you know how it is when you've been asleep for a half hour or suddenly, or thereabouts, and suddenly you're awakened, be it by the telephone ringing. My wife has strange rings on her telephone now. And I guess it tells her who is calling. She must have one that tells her not to answer when I call. She'll later say, oh, I missed your call. You know, she's not in the room right now. I'm not sure where she is. Maybe she's looking at the food downstairs. Maybe she was hungry. But we know that when the phone rings and you've been asleep and you wake up with that jerk, not that you're sleeping with a jerk, but you wake up with a jerk and you think, oh, what's going on? I remember one time Don and I were still living on Wheaton Drive and the phone rang and I got up and I ran into the dresser and I finally made my way over to the phone and the person said this, is this the Madonna residence? And I said, yes. And they said, well, we want to report about Madonna. And I said, well, I'm doing fine, thank you. And they said, we mean the real Madonna. I said, I am the real Madonna. They had something to say and hung up. But, you know, I wonder if it was one of you. But you can imagine if suddenly there was a pounding at your door. And you're thinking, what in the world's going on? I've been asleep. Now, you have to remember, these people in that time didn't have cable TV. Okay, so they didn't stay up to watch the 11 o'clock news. Most of them probably went to bed at 8:30, 9, 9:30, because they got up very early. And so the door is being pounded upon by someone, and you know, you think, oh, what in the world's going on? Notice it says there, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? So you're the one going and knocking. Someone has come to your house. How would you like to tell your friend another friend has come and is at my house and I need to give him something to eat and I don't have anything, but can you help me out? Would you be willing to give of what you have for someone else? Well, we note in verse 6 we have 3 people. We have the one sleeping. We'll name him A. We have the one who is making the request. He has nothing to offer the traveler. We'll name him B. And then we have C. Is not C the one that's behind all the commotion? Yes. The visitor. Was he expected? You'd have to say no, because the person B did not have anything for them. So this person is unexpected. And they've come to your house, and now you have to go to someone else's house and ask for food. Hopefully, you'll just go to Myers and won't come to my house. That was a joke, folks. You can laugh at that. Okay? But we find that there's going to be an excuse given. You know, people give excuses all the time, don't they? You want to know about excuses, ask my dad. He'll tell you about the woman that couldn't come to church because she had to feed the parrot at 11 o'clock. Now, did you get that? She couldn't come to church because she had to feed the parrot at 11 o'clock. What do you think about that? Do you think that parrot would have known if the food was given to him at 10:45? I don't think so. But excuses. Read verse 7. And he from within, that's person A, he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Trouble me not. Don't bother me. Have you ever said that to somebody? Don't bother me. Don't bother me now. I've heard parents say that to their kids. I'm not going to ask you if you ever said that to your kids. But don't bother me now. Have you ever said that to your husband or your wife? Now, I would never say that to my wife. She has entered the room, so I have to be careful what I say now. Yes. But don't bother me now. I'm on the phone. I'm brushing my teeth. I'm washing. That doesn't even sound right. I'm washing my hair. You know, we find that sometimes we don't want to be bothered. Do you think that God ever says that to you? Don't bother me now. I don't think so. I don't believe that at all. But he's going to give excuses. The door is now shut. How hard is it to open a door? The door is now shut. Now, I've heard this illustration that said the reason he didn't want to get up because the door was shut and that the kids were laying down is that they all were sleeping in the room where the door was. And that to open the door, he'd have to get up everybody because they were laying on mats and the mats were on the floor. And so it was not just he who is now going to be inconvenienced, it's everybody in the house. The door is shut. My children are with me in bed. Yes. I cannot arise and give thee. Let me ask you this question. Should he have said, I will not versus I cannot? Would you dare say that there are times that you have said, I cannot do that versus I will not do that? Is there a difference? I've heard people who said that they wanted to quit something. Let's say quit smoking. And they say, I cannot quit. It's not that I cannot. It's I will not. There are many times we give that argument. I can't do it. Versus I will not do it. But verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend. Thank God for true friends. Thank God for those that when inconvenienced are still willing to help you. Thank God for those who say, yes, I'll be there for you. Because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity. It's not a word that many of us use on a regular basis. But because of his plea, his petition, his supplication, because the request is urgent and is persistent and continual, because of this, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. The people are listening to this. The disciples are listening to this illustration that there are times in which we are going to go to the Lord not once, not twice, but many times. And we'll ask. will ask. I remember when I was in Bible college, there was a family there that was going to Bible college. It was interesting. It was the husband, the wife, and their 18-year-old daughter. All three of them were in Bible school together. And I remember it was very interesting. The girl was living in the girl's dorm while the parents lived in an apartment. I guess she didn't want to live with them anymore. Don't know. But I remember one time he was giving the testimony how that he had been saved, and for 17 years he'd been praying for the salvation of his parents before they accepted Christ as their Savior. How many prayers do you think he would have offered in 17 years? Could be thousands. You know, there could be someone that's praying for you today, and they've been praying for you for many, many years. Sometimes you probably wish they'd stop praying for me. But when it comes to your eternal soul, they're going to pray for you until it's too late, praying that you will make that right and proper decision. But then we find in verses 9 and 10 some verses that bother people. It says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." I've been married to Donna for 40 years. Now, I know she doesn't look like she is 40 years old. So that means she's older than 40, right? If I've been married to her for 40 years. So she looks pretty good for a woman of her age. Don't you agree? She's shaking her head. Am I in trouble? No, I'm not in trouble. I've been married to Donna for 40 years. Do you know how long I've been praying for her brother to be saved? For 40 years. For 40 years, we prayed that Chuck would come to know the Lord as Savior. I've talked to him about his soul. I'm sure Donna's talked to him about his soul. I'm sure that Donna's parents have talked to him about his soul. And he has told me, well, I'm okay. 40 years. I've asked. I've asked again and again. I hope that someday, before it is everlastingly too late, that Chuck will come to know the Lord as a Savior. You probably have prayed for someone for many, many years. And you say, "Lord, I've asked. Why haven't you answered?" See, we could ask the question, have you received everything you've asked for when it comes to the Lord? Have you? No, you haven't, have it. You have probably said, "Lord, help me find something." Well, you can't find it if your wife has thrown it away. Now I'm in trouble. I never misplace anything, Cindy. You don't believe that, do you? No. But if I can't find something, it's always Donna's fault. You know, that's just the way it is at the Madonna house. And she's been patient with me. But you know, you haven't received everything. I'm going to tell you this, that my dad prayed for my mother's health. Did she die anyways? She did. Well, why should we pray then? Well, number one, the Bible tells us we should pray, right? The Bible instructs us to pray. And yet here we find Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." I believe it's very important that we don't question God's and God's will. I believe it's very important that we need to remember that phrase in the Lord's Prayer that went like this, "Thy will be done." See, we pray from a certain perspective, but we need to remember to pray for the Lord's will to be done. If you would, the book of James, if you would, James. And we'll look at chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. May I say to you this morning, your desire should be to do the will of God. The problem is that we often get his will and our desires mixed up. We desire for our own benefits. And then when we pray and say, Lord, why didn't you answer it? We get angry at God. But what we should do is pray for whatever it may be, your will be done. If you would, again, this same book, this same chapter, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. May I say this, we need to be in a right relationship with God. We need to make sure that when we are praying, that we are praying that the Lord's will be done. Now you say, well, what about the salvation of a soul? Isn't it God's will that everyone will be saved? I believe God's desire is that all will come to know him as Savior. But does God know that all will not come to him? That there are many who will reject, even though they have heard the gospel story again and again. See, man will be, shall we say, convicted. God will convict them of their sins. The Spirit will move. They will know what is right. And man will say no. God will not force someone into heaven. But he will convict him. Revelation 3:20 tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I believe that God stands at the door of the lost person and knocks and asks for admission. I believe he stands at the door of the believer and asks for admission into his life also, that he can be a welcomed guest. But again, God will never break down the door. The decision is up to the individual. Will they decide to do what God would have them do? How many of you have given instruction to a child and told them, this is what you should do, and then watched them do just the opposite? And you said, why did you do that? And they said, well, that's because I wanted to do it this way. And then they get upset if the thing they were wanting to do breaks or doesn't work, and they get upset and blame you. I believe there will be those who will stand before God and blame him, that they will be turned out into hell. And he will say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Have you done what is right in the eyes of the Lord?" Both in your need of salvation and in your spiritual walk. Shall we stand together? In a moment, we're going to sing the song, "I Surrender All." Have we truly surrendered our will to the Lord? Have we truly said, "Lord, you can have my soul, you can have my life"? The question is one that you must answer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray now as this invitation time is given. We ask, Lord, that your will be done. Knowing, Lord, that you will convict and that, Lord, you will prod, but you will not break down the door. Lord, we pray that victory could be had today, that there'll be rejoicing among the angels over one that repenteth. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.